It's Stephanie Michelle, and welcome to the newest episode of Finding the Funny. This time, I'm joined by Gerardo Alarcón, and we kind of talk about how amazing he is as a person, like award-winning even. And to understand that fully, you should probably just listen to him explain it about himself. So, enjoy.
You didn't burp that time. Oh. Okay. All right. I'm Stephanie Michelle. This is Finding the Funny, and I am sitting with
Gerardo Alarcón.
I'm really curious on how that's going to come out later. How are you?
I'm great.
So, right before we started recording, we were talking about how nobody gets your name right.
Yeah, and that's why we had to restart recording, because you got my name wrong 3 times.
And we started saying stuff that we probably shouldn't have said while recording.
What?
I mean, minor details.
What do you... What?
Okay, no, I'm kidding.
You want to start over again? No, I'm kidding.
No, now we're too far right now.
Yeah, we did like a 30-minute podcast earlier, and then we had to start over.
It was not 30 minutes. It was 6 minutes.
36, yeah.
But, okay, so we were talking about your name, never, but not even just people saying it wrong, people spell it wrong.
One thing I will repeat is that I am an award-winning gaffer. It's yes. Important that everyone knows. I gaffed a movie, a short film, mm-hmm. a película, for Kids in the Spotlight. It was charity. Not only did I win an award, but I also did charity. That's how good of a person I am.
What?
That's it. We're starting hot with this fucking nice guy attitude. Yeah. I was my first time gaffing, by the way.
You gaffed straight into an award?
Yeah, I gaffed right into an award. And like, it was a complicated set. I had 3 M40s, an M90, and an M60, 2 Joleco 800s, and I fucking made it work, baby. And I got an award-winning credit in Venezuela.
And that time your name is spelled correctly.
Yep. Yeah, so that's basically like 6 minutes in a nutshell right there.
Yep.
So yeah, they spelled my name right, but these other films that I worked on, they always get my name wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I had to go through IMDb and fix... I only had 2 credits on IMDb, and one was from a college film I did in 2009 when I was in college, where I did like a voiceover thing.
Okay.
And another one was just Surrender Me, like one of the worst movies I ever worked on. I worked on a lot of Lifetime movies, so if you like Lifetime movies, I'm your guy, right? I know all the good ones.
I cannot
Defiant
say...
Love, The Husband. Come on.
How do you fall into Lifetime movies?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they're heavily funded by the KKK.
Oh.
How do they fall into KKK money? That's what I want to know.
Wait, what?
No, I'm just kidding. But they probably are. But, no, I fall into Lifetime movies because of the... production company I work with, basically.
Okay.
We, our number 3 vendor is Michael Pfeiffer, who does Lifetime movies. He does 6 movies a year.
Okay.
And then we also work with Lane Schefter Bishop, who's another Lifetime director. And I was on a 4-week, what's called, feature with her.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm done with working on set because I'm moving up. I don't like working on set. Working on set sucks. It's kind of awesome, but it sucks.
Okay.
Yeah, because they spell my name wrong. They say my name wrong. Like, people don't just say G. Why do they have to be so, like, you know, why do they have to call me, try to say my name, you know?
You'd rather people just call you G?
Yeah, call me G.
I don't feel comfortable calling you G.
Why not?
I don't know.
Well, go with the next letter. Call me E. What up, E?
That didn't make it any better.
The letters in the name.
I don't know if you're at that one letter.
Personality? What?
I don't think you're a one letter personality.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm the personality you could just get my fucking name wrong everywhere, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. That sounds more accurate.
Yeah. You're going to have me on your podcast, can't even say my last name.
That's no. Okay, you know what? It's funny thing is, I know I've said your last name correctly in the past, but it's when I'm sitting here face to face with you.
With
I'm
G,
like,
yeah.
With G. See, I feel dirty.
What?
Calling
saying
you
G? Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I'd be like, I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not in porn, so I can't be called G. I get it, yeah. I've never worked on porn films with lighting or anything. That's frowned down upon in the Lifetime community.
So you either have to work on Lifetime movies or...
I have seen a lot of titties, though, because...
In Lifetime.
I do rap videos.
Okay.
And there's just, you know, women are just like, I want to be in the shot.
So you can do Lifetime in rap videos, but yeah. Lifetime in porn, not okay.
No, yeah, yeah. There's a spectrum, and porn is not on it, so.
But the lighting has to be good there, too.
Yeah, but that's, those people made a choice, basically. And then it's weird how people won't hire people if they worked on porn. It's so weird. I didn't understand it, and I try to ask about it, and they just say that that's the way. It's like...
I feel like if you can light a penis, though, you can light a face.
Okay. I don't know. A penis is probably easy to light.
I don't...
Throw a thing on it. They don't really cast shadows, you know?
I don't think a penis and a groundhog are the same thing. I'm just like, I just picture a penis like popping out of the ground right now, casting a shadow. Oh.
Yeah, you know, it's like 2 more weeks of like, what? I don't know. What's the joke?
I don't know. We have to... Oh, it went down a bad path.
You have to find the funny. You can just like clip that and then make that the intro for every episode.
Every episode. It wants to... Girl, you cannot start every episode. I can't call you G, though. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, go for it. You can say my first name. It's just the last name that you use.
And it's only when I'm face-to-face, when you're like eyes, because your eyes get wide open when I'm about to say it, and I'm like, nope, you have to make that face. And then I become self-conscious, and... Like, this is the thing, is I hate new school years because I hate getting new students' names because I'm always like, I'm going to mess them up for a while. Just not, it's not going to go well. And so, yeah, it's okay. We've already started off the tournament award winning.
Yeah, I'm an award-winning gaffer, and whoever doesn't spell my name right anymore deserves to maybe serve a sentence, you know?
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's like, I can't wait until I get my plaque here. You know what I mean? If I get a plaque for this award I got...
Okay.
First of all, I don't know if Venezuela can afford it, but I deserve a plaque. So I might make one myself. I might just get one of those, you know, like toy Oscars and then put like gaff tape on it and put best gaffer.
Just get like some just masking tape and write your name on. Don't even get it like printed officially. Yeah. That'd be...
Well, gaffing tape because I'm a gaffer.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You know what? I have a Cricut. We can even cut it out really pretty. We'll make it a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
See? This is why we hang
out. I might even get like a bust of me. Because I have a picture of me that day when I worked on that film.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like get that version of me as a bust because I don't know if I'll ever achieve that greatness again.
You know what we need? We just need to go over to Michael's right now and we'll get the stuff to like make a mold of your face tonight. Like we just have to make sure we do it the way where you can breathe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That might be a minor detail to make sure we catch. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, people, you know, complain about coronavirus and stuff, but I don't know if it had an effect on the voting of my award or what, but... I mean, everything's great right now for me.
So it was a recent award.
Yeah, it happened 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
Oh, really?
I just won an award, yeah.
Oh.
I worked on this film last year.
Okay.
In August of 2019.
Well, yeah.
It's called Parallel and has a very questionable plot, but.
Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't write it, dude. I just worked on the lighting. It was for Kids in the Spotlight, a charity.
Yes.
I'm a charity worker.
Yes, you know? Amazing person.
Amazing person. And me, not the charity. Maybe them too, but me for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a charity where foster kids get to be in the spotlight. So they write a film. They help direct. They basically shadow the director.
Oh.
And they act in the film. So
awesome.
And I was a gaffer for that movie.
Award winning.
This is the third year I've done it.
Oh, okay.
I've done it 3 years now. It's a charity thing. It's for taxes, whatever. You don't get paid. This kind of thing, you know?
Got it.
And so I did it last year. I was lucky enough to gaff it because they asked.
Oh, goodness.
They asked a group of three of us. They said, okay, so who wants to be the gaffer? And I was like, I'll do it. Fuck it. And then they basically just told me what to do. But I had to, what is it called?
I don't know. You're explaining it.
It's like when you tell people what to do.
Direct?
Not direct. It's like... It's a word where you have to set times for people like to do things.
Scheduling.
Oh, what is it? It starts with a D or something. I forget. Anyways, delegate? Maybe no. That's not delegate. But anyways, I had a team of 4 people.
Okay.
And I had 2 days to do this. First day is called pre-light. Now pre-light, you have to light the whole scene.
Yes.
And then you have to come up with there's going to be like a shot list basically. So you have to come up with a way to go through the shot list for the next day.
Okay.
Now, the next day was a 22-hour day. I deserve that award. 22 hours, dude. For free. So, I mean,
you're an amazing person.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, what's overtime on charity? Like, what is that? More charity, right?
That's, I mean, Yeah, there's no denying you at the gates when you get to heaven now. You're like, I already served that 22-hour day.
Yeah, 22-hour day.
That was your ticket in.
And I have different days. Like, that's 22 hours on a Saturday. I've worked 19 hours on a Friday.
Okay.
And I've worked 20 hours on a Sunday. That's fucked up.
I like how the hours are very specific to the days.
Yeah. I was trying to collect 7, but the other days are not, like, above 17 yet, you know?
Okay.
But, yeah.
What happens when you collect all 7? Like, they feel like you have to do something.
I don't know. I might get another reward. I got 3 so far.
Oh, 3? Yeah. Look at you racking up awards.
Yeah, what can I say?
You're working your way towards an, what is it called? An EGOT?
Oh, no. No, there's no Oscar for lighting.
Yeah.
A problem. There's no Oscar.
You're going to have to find another way to get to your Oscar.
That's a cinematography Oscar now, but they take too much credit. The cinematographer gets credit for the lighting. I mean, come on. Like, what are they doing? They're too busy looking at their fucking lens millimeter length when I'm over here fucking lighting a goddamn film, getting an award in Venezuela. You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure that you can be an award-winning porn actor. I'm just saying. No. I mean, you can try lighting a penis, but there's no chance.
Porn is frowned down upon.
I know.
I will never be a part of it. I love it, but I won't be there. You know what I mean?
You're like, I will support it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I have an uncle that's a director.
Yeah.
He has a very nice house. I don't think he's ever questioned going into regular movies.
Dude, there's a lot of like Airbnb type websites where you can like rent a house for shooting, but it's way more expensive to shoot in a house rather than just staying there for an Airbnb.
Uh-huh.
It's like $2,100 a day.
Oh, wow.
To shoot in a house. And every single one is like no fucking nudity, no porn, no insertion, like crazy words, you know? Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look at Airbnb websites later.
Yeah, no, it's not Airbnb. I forget what it's called. It's called like Gigger. Whoa. Close, you know what I mean? But it's called something like that. It's like Gigger, like a gig.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know,
okay,
like for people that sell their houses out to people, you know what I mean? And I've worked in some nice houses. What can I say? I'm an award-winning gaffer. So
I mean, if there's nothing else that we've learned today,
gaffa, if I have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. We can't get back from there.
Anyways, my bad. I did tell you in order to do this podcast, I had to talk about being an award-winning gaffer for like 10 minutes. But
yes.
So that's out of the way.
I mean, we went over that by 2 minutes. Fuck.
No, that's all good. Don't
it's worry. You know what? It's fine. I'll just edit some of that
start
out.
Over, yeah.
it's okay. So, okay. I've known you since I started.
Life?
You were not there when I was born.
Oh, comedy.
Comedy.
I define comedy as life. So, yeah.
So I've known you since I started making bad decisions.
I remember I met you at the Flappers.
Yes. Before I even started comedy, I met you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had done one mic because my cousin dared me, and then I was just going back to support her and drink.
I believe the first thing I said to you was, "What up, shoddy?"
I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding. I was just making that up.
I was going to be like, if you remember the first conversation, we have to have a whole nother conversation when we're not recording.
No.
How long ago have you, when did you start comedy?
I started comedy December 3rd of 2014.
I think it's awesome when people remember the exact day. Do you remember your set?
I didn't have a set. I just fucking, I went on stage and I had a bunch of things ready before.
Uh-huh.
So like I got fired from Chipotle, which is still an event that people often talk about.
Yeah. By people, do you mean you?
People that live.
Okay, and just around the world. Everybody refers to that as other D-Day?
Yeah, it's the C-Day. Yeah, the day I got fired from Chipotle for not washing avocados. Now, was that a dumb reason? Yeah, and I had a job offer from a different Chipotle that was going to make me an apprentice, right? If I would have washed those avocados, I wouldn't be sitting in front of you today. Anyways, I think they didn't like that I was trying to leave that Chipotle, so they fucking found the stupidest reason to fire me. Anyways, I got fired, and the next day, I got fired the day before that from Chipotle, but the next day.
December 2nd.
It's December 3rd.
No, you got fired December 2nd?
Yeah.
And then, okay.
December 3rd, I was like, what do I do? You know, like, I always got fired, you know? I was like, I was a manager at Chipotle, everything, so I was like, well, what do I do? This is my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom was like, maybe you should do, like, comedy or something like that, because she met this guy, Mel Austin, you know, Mel Austin.
Yes, I love Mel Austin.
She was doing travel for Mel Austin, and so she was like, you should meet Mel Austin, and he loves comedy, like, you're funny, you could be the next Robin Williams. Robin Williams just passed away.
Yes.
At the time, not recently, but So Robin Williams had just passed away. She said, you can be the next Robin Williams. And then I went, I hit up Mel Austin and I met him for coffee. And I was like thinking about the things I always thought were funny. Like the first joke I ever really thought of was, why do they sell monsters like as a deal for two? Like, what's the worst thing to do when you drink one monster? Drink another one. And then like drink one and then drink another one, like, and fucking smash your head with it or whatever. I thought that was the funniest joke ever written. It might be still, but and then I went to Mel Austin. I told him that joke, and I told him another joke about how I hate everything, which was not even a joke. It was just me saying things I hate. And then he was like, hey man, you want to go do comedy tonight? And I was like, I was like, what? You could do that, you know? And he's like, yeah, we can go tonight. Let's go to Liam's or whatever. I was like, all right, I'm down. Let's go, right? So I went with him. And when I got on stage finally, long story short, first of all, I met the Mooney Twins.
Okay.
And I was like, it's my first time doing comedy, to the Mooney Twins. And they said, take notes, motherfucker. And then they walked away from me. And
as
so,
one does.
Yeah. And so I went on stage. Didn't say anything that I had thought of. And I just kind of stared at everyone. And then I said, what about those Lakers? And then this cholo said, what about the Lakers, fool? And I was like, oh, shit. Like, nothing, you know? And then I just basically stood up there and I was like, whoa, this is fucking awesome. But I was just, like, not saying anything. I was like, oh, bug, you know? And then I got off stage. I went outside. And this large black gentleman came up to me and started yelling at me saying, you gotta say jokes. You gotta say jokes. And he said that over and over and over again. And then the next day, I went to La Playas de Nayarit in Fontana. And the next day, I went to Flappers in Claremont.
Okay.
And then the next day, I went to Chatterbox. So, like, I just started hitting comedy every night because I had a pretty penny and I just got fired from my job. And then I lost all my money and I started doing drugs. And then I fucking made it back into a good job, stopped doing comedy, and then did comedy again. And then now I'm here. Look at me.
You're just cycling through life like crazy.
Yeah, I think about it every day, so...
Well, I'm happy that you're here. Where you, are you good? Yay! All right. I'm like,
no, I mean,
it's award winning.
Yeah, award winning gaffer is like really like that's just another step on the ladder.
No, that's awesome. So you were not one of those ones that looked at comedy before that, like as something that was.
Well, I always did improv. I was a theater student. So
okay.
Like, I love theater. Like I was, my fucking parents hated the fact that I was always like when I was a kid, I was always dancing to NSYNC and shit. And, like, telling everyone to look at me. And everyone would make fun of me afterwards. And I'd be like, what? I don't get... I never got it. I'm like, what? I need attention. Dude, what the fuck? You know? And then in high school, I fucking... I told my mom, I was like, look, I have to fucking do something. You know? And I was like, I'm going to fucking play guitar. You know? So I demanded that they give me an allowance. I will do anything to get an allowance in order to pay for guitar lessons. I went to 3 guitar lessons. I got a bunch of paperwork. Used all that paperwork to learn guitar. I couldn't afford the lessons anymore. I only went to 3. But then I started playing guitar, whatever. And then I was like, fuck it. You know what? I want to fucking audition for a play. And then I auditioned for a play. None of my parents were behind me on this. They did not want me to do any of this. You know?
Okay.
And but they always supported me. They always went to go see the shit. They always went to go see me in my bands. They always went to go see me in high school plays and college plays.
Okay.
But then after that, the fucking... It was just like, they were done with everything I do. So comedy... I just, they hate everything I do about comedy.
Oh, really?
They can't stand it, yeah.
Have they come to see you at all?
No, never.
Oh, wow.
No, not even my sister. My sister wants to come see me, but it's just always like a time and a place type thing, you know?
Got it.
But none of them, they never came to see me. It doesn't bother me at all.
I just, it's interesting because like I talk to comics that are from California versus the ones that are not. And it's, yeah, it's a very interesting line. Okay, so you've been doing it for a while.
I was doing improv.
Yeah.
Right? In college, we had this thing called Off Wit. It was a improv troupe of me and like 4 girls and 6 guys.
Okay.
And we all were, and it sounds like I was the odd man out. There's 11 people. They're like, well, yeah, we're the troupe and there's Gerardo. No, No, but we did two shows, right?
Yeah.
In one weekend at the college that I went to, Cal Poly.
Okay.
And I remember one of the nights where I was like, it was a stupid ass prompt where it was like, we're in a parking lot and you just gotta like 2 people go in the center of the stage and you gotta do like a fun scene, right? And there was this part where these 2 girls who went in the center. I love women, nothing wrong with that, but 2 girls went in the center and they were like smoking weed in a parking lot. And I was like, what the fuck? Why would you do that? You know, like, why? This isn't funny. It's just like, they're just stoners in the parking lot. You know, mm-hmm. I smoked a lot of weed at the time, but
okay,
I was just like,
but it was never funny.
It was just not. No, it wasn't funny. Like it literally was like I was like, oh, this might be funny. You know that feeling you get where like, mm-hmm. oh, this might work. But they just were just sitting there smoking weed. They thought that would be funny. So like, I was like, fuck, I gotta save this shit in my head. You know, like,
yeah,
you know. And so I went. I called out Russell, and we went in the center. And I was like, "What are we doing in the parking lot?" But it was a terrible joke. But I got like a huge response laugh, and I remember feeling so fucking good at that moment, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I went in the restroom, and I think I was like crying a little bit. And I like looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, "I could do this for the rest of my fucking life," you know.
Yeah.
Meaning being on stage, doing something like that, and I just remember feeling like fucking amped after that show.
Got it.
And I went on to do a bunch of terrible theater and like acting. Like, I did a couple of, like, comedic things here and there, but mostly dramatic roles.
Okay.
And, like, I'm pretty good, but, like, you know, nothing like my gaffing. I won awards, you know? But, anyways, that's, like, all that kind of led me to be a fucking asshole in comedy now, you know?
Okay. So your official role is asshole in comedy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like it. Makes sense.
Big asshole, yes?
So... That's funny. I like that you kind of, because I always joke around that I want to have people go recreate their first set. So if you did it, it would just be you standing up there holding
really
the mic.
Easy, yeah.
You're like, I have it all memorized.
I would be way funnier though now.
You're like, because I want to see people like recreate their first. I think it's so funny.
Yeah, and then Mel Austin was trying to get me to fucking not do open mics and just write jokes and then do shows. And
oh,
I was
really?
Like, dude, this shit feels so good though. Like, why would you do that?
I love Mel.
He's cool. I mean, he said some shit that was off color to me, but it's all good.
Oh.
He started saying shit that, like, I'm not your dad and stuff. I'm like, what? That never fucking, that never occurred to me, dude, you know?
That's so weird.
And so I kind of just, like, stopped talking to him.
Aw. I know, but I think he's, like, protective of me because of Marine also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved working with mm-hmm. Mel in his house and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just one day where he sent me a couple of weird text messages, and I told my mom, I'm like, I'm gonna try to fight this one, dude. Like, it was, you know, I have daddy problems or whatever, you know, so, like, him saying that shit, it was just like, okay, let's go, you know?
You try to fight quite a few people. Not lately.
Back then, yeah.
Not so much anymore.
When I first started, I'm sober.
so good.
Yeah.
So that's funny. Okay. So you sent me some jokes.
Yes.
Yes. And it's from a year ago at Chatterbox, which you were telling me some interesting stuff about that show after, because it was a random Sunday.
Yeah. So, like, I did once, before I got sober, I did a show at Chatterbox. And I thought it was the dopest shit of all time, because, like, it's hard to get on a Chatterbox show, whatever. You have to, like, do really well at the open mic three times and, like, try to talk. It's, like, a weird kind of, like...
Okay.
Especially for dudes. I don't want to be like a sexist prick or anything, mm-hmm. but a lot of dudes are good at comedy, you know?
Okay.
They can always just go through the arsenal of dudes and grab a dude that they know will do well.
Mm-hmm.
So getting my first show was like a big deal to me at Chatterbox, yeah. you know? So I got that and I fucking tried to dress up, whatever. I'd never tried to dress up. And I did my shit, but the tape of it I did not like.
Okay.
I loved it at the time, and I was also not sober.
Okay.
But then I was always trying to get another show from Steve. But I was like sober, newly sober, not very funny. And then they started doing this thing at the mic where they would hand out our bucket, like, and they'd pass it around. And they're like, all right, we're going to try to do like a 5-minute thing while the bucket's getting passed around.
Okay.
And I was like telling Josh, because I was living with Josh at the time, I was like, dude, try to give me that 5-minute spot, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the show and I didn't say anything. And they, like, Scott Lures came up to me and was like, hey, do you want to do the 5 minutes for the bucket thing? I'm like, yes, let's do it. And, I went up and I did very well. And I use that tape to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like, I don't know. It's the most put together I've ever been, like, on stage.
When you said it also got you on...
Kevin and Bean's, like, I don't know what... Oh, April Foolishness.
Okay. Okay, because I remember voting for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was, you could vote like every day.
Really?
I think so. I voted for you a couple times.
I've
done it from other computers. I might have been.
Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I sent that, and I don't think they had it this year. I would have sent the same
exact tape. I don't think they did it again this year.
But like all those jobs, all those jokes are kind of improved in a way. But still, at the time, I mean, like, I was just like confident and whatever. And was funny, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't even supposed to go up that night, which is crazy to me.
So it was a very impromptu
set. And then, like, I remember people before I went on stage, people that are regulars at the Chatterbox that will go unnamed, Lisa Chanou, came up to me and said, like, just don't fucking bomb, you know? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to say a bucket joke. Bucket. And I knew I had a fucking great set, though. But I wanted her to think that I was nervous because I fucking hate people that talk to you before you're about to go on stage. You know what I mean?
I hate when people do, like, or don't bomb or something like that. I want to punch them.
Yeah, especially if I don't have a relationship with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think I would do that. Like, I think when you know people, you start seeing their, like, pre-stage routines. Like, okay, so what's your pre-stage routine?
I mean, I just take deep breaths. Literally.
Like, I breathe.
I put my arms like this above my head, like a macho stance, so you can have more confidence on stage. And I take deep breaths.
You do a power pose?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have to for 2 minutes.
I think...
I don't do it all the time, but if I'm working on a joke that I've never done before,
yeah,
I need to have some alpha in me. So, like, I need to just, like, sit like this, and I'll count to 120. It sounds crazy, but, like, breathe in, you know, like, on 10,
yeah,
and then breathe out on 20, breathe in on 30, breathe out on 40, while somebody else is on stage. And also, if I'm focusing on my breath, I'm not focusing on how good or bad the person before me is.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I think officially for a power pose, you're supposed to hold it for, like, it might be a minute, it might be two. But you're supposed to, like, get into a pose, and it's supposed to make, like, I've heard people do it before interviews.
Yeah.
Or, like, before, like...
It's like a testosterone thing.
I think it might just be, like, a...
Or, yeah.
Get in your head thing. Because I was like, I don't think everybody's working on the same testosterone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I've heard it's a thing, like...
I don't even know what testosterone is.
Females have testosterone also, but it's most notably associated with men.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I just think, then cortisol, right? Like,
that's another one. Oh.
It reduces cortisol and it improves testosterone. That's what I think.
Cortisol is, like, the thing that helps you calm, isn't it?
No, cortisol is, like, your anxiety.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. We're just a couple of scientists.
We're just doing so good right now. I need to maybe start doing that because, like, my pre-stage routine usually is, like, hyperventilating, like, a little bit. But
it's important just to breathe.
Not proper breathing by any means.
But that's what I learned in theater, though, is breathing.
Yeah.
And I didn't learn any breathing techniques. I just learned how to focus on your breath. That's all that matters.
Okay.
It's so fucking hard to do, though. It's like... You think it'd be easy, like, just focus on your breath. But, like, you have to connect it somehow to your body, which is fucking crazy. But, like, for instance, there's different ways to.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you drop down your back, you focus on every vertebrae by focusing on your breath. Like, every time I breathe, I'm going down another vertebrae. And then it's, like, that's how you're getting, like, mind and body type thing.
Okay.
And then there's also another way where if you're just laying down,
uh-huh,
and you just, like, every time you breathe out, you're dropping, like, a pebble of sand in your stomach to, like, drop your diaphragm. And then, like, you never pick one back up. You're just dropping pieces of sand. Because it's, like, it takes a lot of time to focus on your breathing.
Yeah.
Right? So, kind of, like, it's, like, a visual representation.
Okay. So,
like, when you're closing your eyes. And what you're trying to picture is your breath. Because guess what? If you picture something as your breath, you're thinking about your breath, right?
Yeah.
I went through 4 years of this fucking shit. You know what I mean?
I'm learning so much more than I thought I was going to this
episode.
You're welcome,
dude.
Well,
you know, they don't just give awards to anyone.
I can't with you right now.
It's a trip, though. I mean, like, recently, through, like, quarantine and stuff, I'll try to, like, meditate or whatever and go to sleep like that. Because that's how I like to go to sleep, especially when I have a big work day ahead of me. But I can't do that as of recently. I don't know what it is.
So, okay, I've been using the Calm app.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you've seen it.
I use Insight.
Okay. The Calm, apparently, is really expensive, but if you're a teacher, you get it for free.
That's lit. I want to go be a teacher, dude.
Dude, right? For free Calm. But one of the things I like about it is there's stories that are read by different, like, people. And one of the stories is read by Matthew McConaughey. So I've been falling asleep to Matthew McConaughey.
For free?
For free.
Whoa.
I know, right?
That's crazy.
Because you'd have to pay for that shit.
Yeah.
No, but they have some. So yeah, that's been my...
I'm going to figure out how to forge my fucking certificate for teaching.
Or maybe just... find a way to get a school email. That might be less. I don't know which one's more illegal, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
This is all jokes, satire.
Oh, goodness.
No, but I listen to Kenneth Soares.
Okay.
He's my goat for for that kind of shit.
Got it.
He's like an Australian dude that's just like, focus on your breath.
Then he's like, I couldn't listen to an Australian accent while trying to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would be like just turned on. Like, dude, it just doesn't work.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm not turned on, I swear to God. But
I just can't lay on my stomach.
I tried listening to like women talking, mm-hmm. and it's just like, I don't know what Kenneth does to me, dude. You know what I mean? Like, Kenneth's just got this like flair about him.
I don't know. I tried listening to Lucy Liu's, and that one was not calming. But did you ever watch Once Upon a Time?
In Hollywood?
No, not Once Upon a Time. No, Once Upon a Time, like the TV show.
No.
So there's, but there's one of the actresses that plays the Good Fairy. She's been in so much other shit, but I can never picture it again, but I know she's in that one. And she does some of the stories, and she makes me fall asleep instantly. She's calming.
That's the same, though, for me, with Kenneth Source. Yeah. Like, I'll be like, I want to listen to him more because I love his voice, but then I'm like, oh, I'm falling asleep, you know?
I never get to the end of the stories. I don't know how these stories end.
See, I can't do the story thing. I like Kenneth Source because he's just like, you know, he's just like, go down your fucking body. And just like, your fucking sexy ass Mexican body. Yeah. He's like talking to me.
If he actually says that in the recording, that would be amazing. Like,
he goes, this is my favorite part. He's like, breathe in, hold it, and then like, this is not what he says. He's like, and breathe out slowly now. Every time he says, slowly now. And I'm like, oh, I did it fast. You got me.
On another note, your Australian accent is awful.
Yeah, no. It's terrible. Yeah.
Wait, are you not good at accents? For some reason, I thought you were.
I'm good at accents, but like, I'm just good at like certain ones.
Okay.
It's so funny. Like, I did my whole IMDb page the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, there's an accent part. I don't know why I'm a fucking grip, you know? I don't know why they gave me that. Like, it first asks you, like, what department are you in? And I'm in camera / electric.
Mm-hmm.
And then it asked me a bunch of questions about, like, what kind of dances can I do? And I put robot and... What else did I put? Robot and the other one.
Please say, like, line. Oh,
disco.
Disco?
I'm like, that's fucking... Dude, yeah.
You should have put line. Line dancing.
I did disco when I'm at the grocery store. Like, should I get that? You know what I mean? But line dancing? No, I didn't put that because, like, maybe the electric slide. Like,
is that still a thing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I feel like neither of us go to the types of establishments that would play the electric slide.
I mean, I've been to plenty of Mexican weddings when I was younger.
But I'm like, you don't hear the current Mexican weddings.
Yeah, no, I don't even know. What was the last wedding I went to? I don't know. Oh, I went to a wedding, but it was just a bunch of nerds getting married. They did, like, fucking Dungeons and Dragons type vows. Nerds.
I am a nerd, but I'm not going to have...
Let me finish.
I'm not going to get a nerd again.
Before you start talking, let me finish burying nerds really quick. No, I'm just kidding. They had, like, Spock references and Battlestar Galactica. No, I was, like, laughing. I was laughing so hard. It's my cousin, RJ. He's worked for Google doing artificial intelligence, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was still like, it goes this far? You know what I mean? Your wedding? That's probably the most embarrassing divorce, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, when you tell me that you fucking liked watching Battlestar Galactica with me, what happened in those times? You know?
Your list was so bad.
He doesn't talk like that, though.
I know.
I mean, it was accurate if you heard him talk, so.
Oh my gosh, you're ridiculous.
Is this a podcast where you just tell people how bad their accents are?
Just you, actually. No, I've been getting into doing them with a bunch of people, but I'm just like, I don't know, for some reason in my head, I associate you with accents for some reason because you're always making voices and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So when it was bad, it surprised me.
Well, I could do like a British accent.
Okay, that was better.
It's love, it's not, isn't it?
You've been redeemed.
Isn't it a little better?
Okay, but no, we're done. It was, and then you pushed it a little bit too far.
I can do the Indian accent.
And that's when everybody's fun.
A little bit. Welcome to 7-Eleven. I thought you practiced, you just say that over and over. I'm racist.
I'm bad at accents, so I'm not even going to try, but yeah. I'm just, your other ones were better.
I used to work in a kitchen all the time.
Yeah.
For like 8 or 9 years straight. Yes. I worked in different kitchens, and I would always do an Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
Just like... I don't know why I would do that, you know what I mean? But it would just make people laugh and like have a good time around, you know? And I would always just do it. It was like a work mode for me. I wasn't thinking about I'm fucking working at this shitty ass place. You know, I was just like, oh, how can I make people fucking laugh? Motherfucker. I like how Eddie Murphy says motherfucker too. Motherfucker.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm really good at accents. We think we settled that.
But you do use some accents because when you talk about being French Mexican.
Yeah.
My name is Gerardo. How's it going? I'm a French Mexican. Yeah. Peace your eyes. Mexicans call me Gerardo, and French people call me Gerardo. Saying I'm a French Mexican is like saying I'm an average thief. You know what I mean? Like a French dude can steal anything. But a Mexican's always speaking Spanish and saying what they're about to steal in English. Mira, compa, vamos acá y chingarnos este pinche Dodge Charger, okay? Después entramos a tienda y salimos con that old lady's purse. Well, I demand that people call me Gerardo because there's nothing worse than Mexicans going around asking to get called Jerry, right? Hi, my name's Jerry and Blue Lives Matter. My dad didn't cross the border for me to get called Jerry. Gerardo cabrón, you know? You know how hard it is to cross the border?
No?
Okay, cool. How hard is it? My grandpa crossed the border inside of a statue in the back of a semi-truck. You know how much you gotta trust someone to be inside of a statue in the back of a semi-truck? Hey, fool, this isn't a prank, right, bud? We're really going this time, right, fool? I got a family dog for real.
You use accents in that joke.
Yeah, I do. The French-Mexican joke is this, like, Mexican... Cody Decker actually helped me with that joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, like, the joke is, French-Mexican. Mexicans call me Gerardo. French people call me Gerardo Ho Ho.
Uh-huh.
Cody wrote that part.
But then, oh, really?
Yeah, I wrote the whole... Since quarantine, I forgot all my jokes.
This is good.
Yeah, what's it called? So, like, the part where the stealing things.
Oh, yeah.
I forget how the verbiage of it, but.
The Mexicans say everything, everything in Spanish except for what they're going to steal.
You'll never catch a French dude stealing something.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're thieves. But, like, Mexicans always, they're terrible thieves. I'm an average thief. That's what the joke is.
Yeah.
I'm an average thief.
Together we can get your jokes back.
Yeah, no, I haven't done stand-up, so it's weird.
It is. I don't know. I
used to have a different joke about being French-Mexican. I don't know if you were around for that one.
This is the only one I've known, I think.
Yeah, because my old joke, because before I did like an Ancestry.com test.
Okay.
I knew that I was French-Mexican because my great-great-great-grandpa came from France to Mexico. His name was Antioco Ibarra.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole joke was, I don't know how he made his way into my family. Oh, he was a murderer. That's how the joke went. I go, okay. Oh, he's a murderer. That's important. And then I say, I don't know how he made his way into my family, but I'm pretty sure it was rape. Because what's rape to a murderer? It's just like peas and carrots type thing, you know? But I stopped saying that joke because I don't want to say rape on stage.
Got it.
Just on your podcast. I'll
stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times is it too many?
Yeah. I'll stop. The R word now. It's now the R word. And then the other word will be the tard word.
I'm not even.
You know what I'm saying? The other R word. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We're good.
We're not talking about rope here. Jesus Christ.
You know that decision when I messaged you and I said, hey, do you want it? I'm rethinking that moment.
I'm trying to get canceled. What are you talking
about? Like, oh, goodness.
Nah, it is hard to, like, one thing I learned about comedy is, like, danger is great. When you get, like, into dangerous situations, when you talk yourselves into those, it's great because then it's like a sigh of relief when you're actually funny.
Yeah.
You know? But nowadays, it's like you can get canceled for anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, what's it called? Danger is way closer than, you don't have to reach far for the danger. Like, people don't have to die in your jokes or anything. You just flirt with saying, like, the F word for gay people or the R word for tarts. You know, like.
And it seems like there's no timeline on anything anymore. Like something you did like when you were a kid can come back and make it so that you're no longer even touchable.
Yeah. Like his first word was the N-word, you know?
You're like, but... it's just,
But I was trying to say Tigger from Pooh. Yeah.
You're such a horrible person. After we've talked about how great of a person you are.
I mean, I have an award, so whenever people try to cancel me, I just show them the plaque that I made myself.
You're like, that has tape on it. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm holding it together.
That's how you hold everything together.
Good tape.
Gaffer tape, got it.
Really good tape, yeah.
Very strong tape. Very little residue if you get the good
No, there it's very sticky.
Yeah. I've been using masking tape for everything.
Masking tape is like blue or is it scotch tape?
That's okay. I might have during Pride Month ended up with way too much rainbow colored masking tape. We're not gonna ask too many questions. But yeah, so no, there's random shades of masking tape all over my room right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Finding the tape with Stephanie Michelle.
No, don't. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I can't even with you.
I know.
Because there's another joke that I wrote down and it says that you got, when you're talking about getting out of relationship, or just getting out of relationship, and then 4 months before.
I recently got out of a relationship, and by recent, I mean 4 months ago. It's still on my mind because we were going steady for like 2 months, you know? But I get real sad all the time, you know? I get real sad. I try to ask my mom for advice, but she barely speaks English. She knows like 40 words, I'm counting, you know? She says shit like, mijo, you need to be to where like, you're single. You know, to where like, you don't think about her anymore. Like, she didn't love you. She didn't want you. That's why. Whenever you have someone, it's never a first your thing. But not for long. It is never long. Because you're ugly. That's why. To where like, maybe you use makeup. I don't know. That's what I do. Okay. But not for long. Because I'm pretty at night. You know? Yeah, she's not very good with English, man.
Oh, yeah. So I say, I just got a relationship. It's still on my mind because, you know, we were going steady for like 2 months. I say that I just got a relationship 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's always on my mind because we were going steady for like 2 months. Like, yeah. Hardly amount of time. I mean, I was dating a comic and we were going out for 2 months. And then I also got sober at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went fucking bananas because, like, 90 days into my sobriety, I just fucking lost my shit. Because it's like, I was feeling all these emotions at the same time.
As one does.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, I'm still sober, huh? But, no, I would always talk to my mom on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was just, like, going, I'm so sorry for being a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. Because, like, I don't know why I had so much shit. Like, I would always, like, blame my parents or whatever it was when mm-hmm. I was younger. So, I was basically just calling her saying sorry for everything. My mom, like, and on multiple occasions, my mom was like, again, you know, like, but I was like going through this mania at the time after I was sober, whatever, where like, I was constantly with my hands on my hair, just like, oh my God, what's happening? You know, like, mm-hmm. why are we alive type thing?
Very existential crisis.
Yeah.
Good
and
job.
I was bombing every fucking night at the fourth wall. I was trying to start doing comedy again. Cause like when I was going out with this comic, she was very possessive in a sense and, like, always wanted me to be at her apartment. And, like, the day that we had broke up or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I was, like, trying to go to Chatterbox on a Thursday. But she was like, it's raining outside. Don't go. Just, like, come over, whatever. And then we got in a big fight and we broke up, you know? So, like, I was like, fuck.
I think I remember this relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but, like, I left, whatever, that Friday morning.
Yeah.
I didn't even have my car. I was, like, on a bus. And I was like, what the fuck is happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And regretted leaving, right? So, I was like, and I just didn't know why. I was always in a state of, like, wanting to do drugs or drink alcohol again, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, like, constantly on my mind. And I couldn't figure out why. So now I was starting to get through that process of, like, doing the steps and shit with AA.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell nobody it's anonymous. But I was having, like, these crazy ups and downs. Nuts. It was insane to me. Like,
yeah.
There was one day where I met with my sponsor. We usually met, like, 6 in the morning on Sundays. And I would just have to, like, bike down to... It was really close to my apartment at the time. And I was meeting with him. One day I was, like, we were just meditating, whatever. And I love meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, like, feeling so fucking good. So when I left, I called him and I was like, dude, thank you so much. I fucking feel great. Oh my God. That's fucking amazing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to another meeting right after that. Because all day long, I would just go to fucking meetings.
Okay.
Even when I was with this chick, I would just go to meetings all day. But I was feeling great. I was just like, I would go to meetings at 10 a.m., 12 in the noon, 2:30, 5:30, and then the 7 p.m. meeting.
Okay.
I would just be there all day. I couldn't get enough, you know? And especially after we broke up, I was just there all day.
Yeah.
You know? And then I went to a meeting right after that, the fourth step, or, you know, the step we were doing at the time. And I was at this other fucking meeting. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I went from being mad happy to just, like, insanely sad.
Yeah.
And, like, this one dude, his name is John the Baptist. I still, you know, I just follow him on Facebook now. I don't really see him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he came up to me and he was like, yeah, dude, we just jack off and live, dude. That's all we do. This is, like, what he said to me, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just starting talking about, like, you know, like, people that want to kill themselves, whatever. Like, I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm giving off this kind of fucking energy, you know?
Type yeah.
thing. Anyways, all that to say that the joke just comes from me going through a fucking crazy-ass time after breaking up with this chick.
And did your mom actually call you ugly?
She always does.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, my, you know, it's so funny because my roommate, Josh, met my mom. And the joke is that she only knows 40 words in English. My mom, when she's comfortable with you, she'll fucking be like, yeah, I fucking like this, you know, like she'll talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hilarious. It's so funny. Yeah. And how she talks. But she has like a business persona too. She's like, hello, my name is Rosa Alarcon, you know, kind of thing. And like when I introduced her to Josh, because we were picking up a couch from my mom's house,
mm-hmm.
she was like, hi, how are you today, Josh, you know? And then Josh was like, what the fuck? You don't sound anything like what he said in the joke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so every time my mom is like super Mexican, I'll try to like fucking record it or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how Mexican she is. But then like she has like this white side to her. So the joke is accurate, but only if you like really know my mom.
Got it. So first time meeting your mom, it will not seem true.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she always does that whole like backtracking what she just said, you know, like maybe you should wear makeup. Oh, no, you know, wait, but like not like not all the time, but like, you know. Because I'm pretty at night. Like, that's like, just like the way my mom thinks, I thought.
No, it's definitely funny.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that's why that joke is just like, I don't know.
It was kind of came out of crazy.
Everything, that whole set kind of came out of crazy because the cholo shit. Like,
yeah.
My ex-girlfriend loved when I did a cholo voice.
Okay.
You know? So I was like, fuck you, I'm going to make a cholo joke, you know? She made me one, oh, the Harry Potter joke's not on there. But like,
no.
She made me write out a whole Harry Potter joke. And so I did. I spent a whole day at this fucking Armenian restaurant that I ate like two breakfast burritos at.
Okay.
And I like wrote out a whole legal pad of just like a bunch of New Yorker as Harry Potter jokes.
Why did she want you to write out a Harry Potter joke?
Because I was just always doing this bit and it was so funny.
Okay.
Like, so write this out, whatever, you know.
So the cholo joke was because of that too?
Yeah, she loved my cholo voice.
I think cholos are hilarious, bro. I like cholos because I feel like they like to name themselves after things they like to do. You know, like, that's the homie Joker. He's like, hey, what's up, homie? He's like, that's the homie Spider. I think he likes insects. And shit. Where's the microscope, Dr. Bear? And that's the homie Kitties. Get the animal catch. I feel like cholos should name themselves after things they're scared of, right? That'd be funny. Like, that's my homie Lonely. He's like, hey, bro, would you like to hang out with me? Can I get your contact information? I'm on my way. That's my homie fucking financial insecurity. Hey, Doc, can I get a dollar bill? Like, trying to get a 40, homie. And that's the homie Gay Sex. He's like, where? I'm scared of cholos with sweet names, you know? Like, I have a cousin named Cookie. Oh shit, that fool's macadamia nuts, dog. He's got a chocolate chip on his shoulder. Oatmeal raised in the streets, homie. Always baked, dog, what's up? My cousin Cookie is very homophobic. He found out his homie Spider was gay, and he said, fucking Chips Ahoy to that fucking kid. Girl Scouts Cookie, what the fuck? Thank you very much, you guys have been great.
And so, like, I was like, I never thought it was funny. Like, I would just do it all the time, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I started to do the cholo voice all the time. But, like, it's mostly my Uncle Miguel.
Okay.
My Uncle Miguel sounds exactly like that when he's drunk. And then my Uncle Joe doesn't sound as much like that, but, like, same thing when they're drunk. Like, he says the N-word. He says, like, I'm faded, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's just so funny to me, like the way they talk.
Well, and but I just like all the nicknames that you kind of put into that one, because that one just kind of keeps going.
Yeah, and then I wrote that on the way to Chatterbox one day when I was living in Glendale. I was driving to Chatterbox, and I was just thinking about like it'd be so funny if there was a chola named Kitty Cat. Granted, like I changed the joke now to Splitty because I could do the splits.
Yes.
And I have another joke about doing the splits. So like I was like, fuck it, I could like kind of like pile on the splits. Like I did the splits in jail, you know.
Yeah.
And I forget all my jokes. But anyway, I know that comes first. So if I start that splits joke, my whole cholo bit's coming because there's a callback, and then like there's an even funnier punchline after the callback from the splits. So the funnier punchline is gay sex. That's like a it's things that you're scared of.
Yeah.
But the like the turn I guess or whatever. Is that he loves gay sex.
Yeah.
But he wants his homies to think that he's scared of it, you know? Yeah. But the reason why I wrote that joke was because of the kitty cat part. I thought it was so funny that there would be a chola named Kitty Cat.
I'm mostly sure I was there the day that relationship started.
You were on the show.
Yeah. I remember that. That was a really weird night.
Yeah, she wouldn't stop talking to me.
I was occupied. I just remember, like, talking to you guys for a minute and then getting distracted with the relationship that I got myself into. Oh,
that's so funny.
The same time. Lock don't date trees. Comics. What? Yeah.
You know, trees come from the same root, but they go off into separate branches, right?
That's
right. We're just leaves falling out of relationships, really. Yeah. That's the quote. You say you do quotes, right? Just kidding.
Actually, you know what came up in my memory the other day? I have a story, and we were on a show together, and it was the first of the Good Nick versus Bad Nick, and you were the judge.
You were on that show?
Yeah.
So it was Esmeralda, right?
Yeah, we were on opposite teams.
That was so funny. When Dominic Zappia threatened to kill me like five times?
Yeah. But so, okay, this is the thing, is I got put on Good Nick's side because Bad Nick said, he's like, I just picture your cousin being the one that would fight somebody first. And I was like, she's far less violent than I am, but okay, whatever. Yeah. And so, he didn't want me going against my cousin. Like, they're like, we're not putting you two next to each other. But they had me go against Stephanie Tejada.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up is because in my memory it popped up that you had said a quote. Because I remember putting, like, quote of the night and putting it on there. And it was, the quote was, life is short, but it's long as fuck when you're bombing.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is like one of my favorite.
That's so funny.
Comedy. Like, I was like, man, that like sums up.
Life is short, but it's long as fuck when you're bombing.
Because I just remember as soon as you said it, like, I was like, taking a picture, writing that down.
That's so funny.
Because it was just like, I was like, I don't think I'll ever hear another one of my friends as comics say something that encapsulates comedy.
Man, what a terrible idea for a show.
The Good Nick versus Bad Nick?
Just kidding. No, I loved it, dude. It was so funny. But then it was so weird because knowing I was about to go on stage, like, basically just, like, 3 seconds before or whatever.
Yeah.
Knowing I'm going to bomb. It's so weird. I was like, okay, I'll do it. Fuck it. I love bombing now. Before, I hated bombing, but I love it now.
It was a strange show because they kept doing more Good Nicks versus Bad Nicks, but they changed the format. There wasn't commentators on stage.
Oh, yeah. And then me and Josh threw a fit because they wouldn't have us back. But it was a joke, obviously.
Yeah.
But we wrote a whole Nick Pelias diss song and everything. It's so funny.
I didn't see that.
No, we didn't show anyone. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to be like, please say it's out there, and I just missed it.
It's kind of like the lore. If you heard the coronavirus diss track that I put on Instagram, I don't know if you
heard
that.
I need to actually, like, watch. Is it a story?
No, it's a Instagram post. Oh. Yeah. If you go on my page, I have it still on my page. I archive a lot of posts, though.
Okay.
So, like, it's like, if you catch it, you know.
It's limited edition. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I did, like, a whole, like, I wanted to make a 12-song, like, EP type thing during quarantine.
Yes.
Because I've made two before. I've done two albums.
I feel like I keep learning more stuff about you that I'm just like, you are an onion, sir. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of like a workhorse. So, like, I do a lot of the podcast. I do a lot of work at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll work my ass off at work, which isn't really work. It's kind of like really fun production type things. And then come here and fucking think about what can I do next, you know? and then like just make clips all day long. And nobody likes the clips, but fuck it, I hate people. So like, no, I'm just kidding.
It works.
That's not my quote.
Nope, that's your quote now.
I hate people. I say it five more times. I hate people. Stop it.
That'll be the audio clip. It's cool.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I don't know. I've always been like fucking go hardo. Like, just like that's what my name was in high school.
Not go
high
hardo. School,
in college.
Okay.
Like when we would go drinking, like on, I remember on a St. Patty's Day, I won a fucking game of beer pong and somebody called me Gohardo and everyone was laughing. And people would always just say, like, what's up, Gohardo? You know? But like, yeah, I mean, I don't stop working kind of thing. I like, and now I have like, my PS4 is like put away because I know that I fucking hate myself. If I, just as much as I hate people, if I play PS4 instead of doing something. So like for the podcast, I make the song.
Okay.
You know, Josh does the art. I fucking got the cameras and the Stevie switcher, you know?
Yeah.
And we just, I don't know. It's so weird. I don't know how to say it. Like, I can't stand doing things for other people without having something for myself in that same time range.
Got it.
So like I could think of events in my life by something I made before, you know?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I was in Danny and the Deep Blue Sea when fucking I broke up with this one chick, you know? Or whatever, like, I don't know.
Your timeline is based on your achievements?
Yeah.
There you go. So you only have 3 awards so far, so you have to...
Yeah, no, I have 1 award.
One? I thought you said 3.
No, I said...
Total.
I think that was a joke, but then I didn't correct you until now, because if you say it multiple times and I hear you all the time, I can't just say that I have it. I can just buy 3 plaques and put... award from Venezuela.
I'm gonna go get like I have a piece of paper and I'll make you like a little like certificate of accomplishment for sitting on your ass for 27 minutes.
Is this 27 minutes?
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's been way longer.
I was about to say. Oh, you're gonna only use 27
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, no, only 27 minutes was good.
Wow.
So
I hate people.
That's getting used. That's gonna be on repeat. Like I'm gonna put that to a beat.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be my new intro song.
Do the deep voice too. I hate people.
If I just don't say anything, maybe you'll say it a couple other octaves so I can play with it. That's fine.
No, I love people, but I hate people too. I love and I hate everyone because I'm neutral. Uh-huh. I learned that because of comedy. You can't go on stage and fucking bomb and then be pissed about it.
No.
But you can't go on stage and do fucking great and be super happy about it. Everything is just like neutral.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck it. I hate everyone. Fuck everyone. If they don't laugh, it feels good. Fuck it. I fucking hate you still. I'm just kidding.
I just remember my grandma, when I was little, being like, I'm not racist. I hate everybody equally. I'm like, all right, that's a fair statement. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the same kind of shit my mom would say. She'd be like, I'm not racist. But I mean, I am, but I'm not.
But followed by like, but that group over there.
Right?
You're like, well.
I'm like, Mom, you can't say that kind of shit. She's like, well, I'm not racist. I swear. I mean, yeah, I am racist, but I'm not racist like that. My mom, you just wanted to say you are racist, but have it sandwiched with I'm not racist.
That's how you get away with it.
Yep.
Nope.
She always like cites events. I'm like, Mom, that's not okay. Stop. Like, you know. You only know those events because they are a certain group of people. That's what, like, you know what I mean? But, I don't know. She's cool.
So, do you ever get asked advice from newer comics?
Yeah, I love it, dude. It's so funny.
What do you give? Why am I concerned at the advice that you give?
No, I love doing it. It's okay. Just like, I love overpowering them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like
no.
How?
No, like if they ask me a question, I'll be like, yeah, and then not stop talking.
Oh.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Because like I'm teaching myself all this shit that I'm saying.
Okay.
When I talk to a new comic, you know?
So what is your go-to advice? Like if somebody's saying, I want to try it tonight.
Stand still.
Okay.
That's number one. Every time I talk to a new comic, I tell them to stand still. Do not fucking walk around. I don't give a shit what you're saying. Just stand still.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, like, you're supposed to move with purpose, and you have no fucking purpose on the stage right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're a brand new comic. Why the fuck are you here kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like, think of yourself in that light. It's like, I could just stand still and try to do jokes, and, like, that's all I have to do right now.
Yeah.
People will have way less respect for you if you're just wasting time looking at your feet and walking around, because that's what's going to happen if you start allowing yourself to move.
Mm-hmm.
But, Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. Like, movement is a big thing for me. Meaning, I don't know, I didn't, like, come out the fucking comedy womb like that. Like,
yeah.
I just remember that from, like, having movement classes in theater, whatever. It's, like, the most annoying thing to see somebody move without intention.
Okay.
You have to have intention. So, like, to do something, you know? And, like, so if somebody does really well, like, I remember London Lee specifically. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah.
But I remember one time, like, he does so good, you know? And, like, but there's times where I'll see him move. And I tell him, like, Doc, stand still. Like, you know what you're saying. Like, that's what's great about him is, like, he knows what he's going to say. But when he does, like, a little movement, I don't know. It looks like he, like, loses track. But he's not. He's on track. You know what I mean? But it just looks like a weird thing. Cut that part out. I don't want to drop names. I'm just kidding.
It's like the seventh name. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, just, yeah. I don't know. That's the biggest thing for me. And then I could talk about it for hours until they're like, okay, do I get it? And then they walk away.
And then they use their movement with purpose. Yeah. And there you go.
Yeah. That seems like how you're doing right now, Paul?
You got it.
Yeah. I remember Danny Frank, when he was a brand new comic, he was the Hideaway. And I was smoking a fucking blunt outside, you know, in the alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, man, like, how do you do comedy? You know, whatever, how Danny sounds. I'm not good at accents, obviously, but I'm just smoking, and I'm, like, telling him, like, Doc, just don't fucking move on stage. Like, it's fucking way better if you just stand there, dude. And then when you get better, allow yourself to move and then see how you can conquer that fucking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, just, like, work on what you're going to say and don't fucking move, you know. And he was like, dude, you're, like, helping me a lot, whatever. I told him a bunch of other stuff. I was just not stopping. I just don't stop. Whenever they ask me, if they try to, like, rebuttal or something, I'm like, no, you don't know anything. Like, let me tell you everything right now. You don't have to take anything that I say, but I'm teaching myself.
Yeah.
You know? I remember he was like, okay, you want to go, like, do you want to meet up with me sometime or whatever? I'm like, yeah, dude, let's fucking meet up again and do this basically the same thing again.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fucking regurgitate everything I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bailed on me, and I was so mad.
So, Danny, please come hang out with him. He misses you.
No, me and Danny talk a lot.
No. I love Danny.
I love Danny. But, yeah, that's so funny, dude. I just remember that specific time because you're asking about newer comics.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just scare people, basically. That's basically my tactic is just scare people.
You're like, let me regurgitate everything I've ever learned ever.
Yeah.
You're not somebody who does things mildly, though. You don't have a lot of stop.
I have hyperism. How does it say? How do you say it?
You're hyper?
I'm very hyper. I've always been hyper.
No, yeah, I could see that.
And when I would smoke weed, I would get fucking hyper as shit, and I would just be, like, trying to do things.
I did it, too.
But, like, I would sound weird, though. I hated it, how I sounded when I was stoned. I would just sound like this. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, you know?
I am now thinking, okay, I'm putting way too much thought into how I sound now.
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're good. Trust me. Like, I don't know what it was about me, but I would become monotonous, and I'm not a monotonous person.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think it might bring me out of my shell a little bit because it makes it so I stop thinking because I'm somebody who thinks all the time.
Yeah.
So I think for me it works. That might be. But I have one last question.
Okay.
What is your end game with comedy? What do you want to get from all the comedy and the award-winning caffeine and all of the podcasts and everything that you have going on too?
I don't know. Like, I'm just like, I'm chilling, dude. Like, I fucking love, I love just doing comedy. I wouldn't mind doing open mics for the rest of my life. It's just so fucking dope. I don't know what it is about, like, just people, you know, you can walk around, if you're not doing comedy, you can walk around life all day long and see how people, and you could, like, think, like, oh, that person doesn't like me because of the way they looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, there's nothing you could do about that. Except for getting mad at, like, a loved one or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, react in different ways. But, like, with comedy, it's like, you know, you can have that same thought and be like, okay, this person obviously doesn't like me because he just looked me up and down and went, ugh, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, you can make that person laugh or you can, like, picture that person in the audience at a later time and kind of, like, resolve that fucking, what's it called, resentment you have.
Okay.
You know? So, like, I love what comedy does. I don't know, like, I don't know. And then also, like, meeting people all the time. Like, you know, there's, like, some kind of, like, unspoken kind of, like, agreement between all longer comics. Like, we don't have to talk to each other. You know what I mean? But, like, I know this person. I can say that I'm a friend with this person, but we don't have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like, new comics, you can know who a new comic is because they want to be in it immediately.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a... I don't know. There's, like, a... I don't know how to say it other than just... It's, like, you have to have something to talk about instead of just, like, all you really want is attention. Like,
yeah.
That's what you're talking to me for. You want me to know that you're here right now?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have eyes, you know what I mean? I know you're here, dude. And I know I've never seen you before. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And like, if there's somebody you haven't seen before that is a comic, they know that, you know, they can't just fucking talk to you. It's a weird thing, dude. Because when you're a comic, you're kind of like selling your voice. So like, to waste your voice on somebody in an extreme sense,
mm-hmm,
is like a sin, basically. I don't know. That's how I think other comics feel, too.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind talking to a new comic just for fucking hours about comedy just to fucking annoy them. I want to scare them away from it. I want to be like, you can't do this. You can't stand still. You can't do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But by telling them to do it.
Yeah.
And then maybe one day when I see them do terribly, I can come up to them and say, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't do this. All the shit that I fucking sat with you for an hour to do.
Mm-hmm. Because
if they're willing to listen to that and come back, then they're willing to hear me again and possibly get better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a nice guy.
You're a great guy. Charity.
I do charity and I talk to new comics, so I'm pretty dope.
All right. Do you want to plug all your other stuff that you do?
I do a podcast called Josh Wardo.
Mm-hmm.
And I sound more like these, but I also Monty.
And then your cat.
Yeah, my cat's, he's a producer. He can help you with your podcast if you want. But
he's adorable.
Yeah, he's pretty dope. I do a podcast. I make succulent videos. My name is Sonic the Plant Hog. I'm going to be doing more of those. I got a tattoo. I'm an inkhead.
Yes, I know. It's adorable.
Thank you.
I mean, it's manly.
Not what I was going for.
Manly. Super manly. In the most adorable way.
I got to start holding the mic with my right hand for sure, because then I could be like that and people can see it all the time. You know.
None of that should happen.
Why?
I mean, all of it should happen. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah,
like,
great.
Hey, mm-hmm. I'm fucking talking, and they can see my fucking scorpion. They're scared that's going to sting them, dude. They're like, if I laugh too hard, I'm going to get stung. No, what's it called? And for people listening, that's, I have a scorpion tattoo, so I didn't just say scorpion randomly.
Yeah, no, there's, I can see it. It's a thing.
I'm G-E-L-O-L-D-O on everything.
You are.
G-E-L-O-L-D-O. Heloldo. Because it's my name with the LOL in the middle.
I can't.
But you can look up Gerardo Alarcon. On Twitter, I'm Gohardo Al Capone, but it's still G-E-L-O-L-D-O.
There you go. And now your name is spelled correctly in IMDb, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had to still find a lot of... You have to, like, add yourself to a lot of production.
Okay.
Yeah. I have an IMDb, Gerardo Alarcon. Go check it out.
And stuff is getting added all the time.
Yeah, every day.
Right, thank you so much for sitting with me.
No, thank you for sitting with me. No, no. Thank you.
This just got so romantic.
Oh my God.
All right. Bye.
Hope you guys enjoyed my conversation with Gerardo. It was definitely a lot of fun having. Make sure you're following him and all of his work with his other podcast, Josh Gerardo. A lot of fun. Lots of laughs to be had. I want to make sure to thank Dave the Prophet for providing the music. His beats were provided by Curtis King. As always, I am Stephanie Michelle. This has been Finding the Funny, and I hope you enjoyed. Bye.
I told my mama on the phone, it ain't no check to check. No more Honda Civics, baby, time to whip that vet. Lyrics, beats, and the hooks, I'm a triple threat. Glow up on my Jesus piece, now I'm living blessed. Looney Bin, BYE, you know we down to ride. Try to kill me with this mic, suicide. Since I got on mad, all I hear is fucking lies. More money, more problems, fucking certified. Doja Cat, throw it back. David blowing back. Blowing up on Super Saiyan, but I'm fucking holding back. Never stop until I put my fucking city on the map. 3 a.m. on Ocean Air, put the pedal to the max.
No, I love people, but I hate people too. I love and I hate everyone. Because I'm neutral.
Uh-huh.
I learned that because of comedy. You can't go on stage and fucking bomb and then be pissed about it.
No.
But you can't go on stage and do fucking great and be super happy about it.